my child.
Hello, dear.
I do not want you to be apprehensive or unduly worried or concerned. The way is being found for you. That which is yet to be is for the best for you in regard to your personal self and the work that we still have in mind that you shall do. It is only for a time that you will be in this unsettled condition. Be patient, but realize that we are finding for you a new home. And in this new home, you will find, I am certain, a great deal of joy and happiness, and you will be more enabled to carry on the work of the Spirit. So, my child, be of good heart.
Yes, I will.
Now, my child, is there anything in particular that you wish me to discuss?
Well, I thought I'd let you do the choosing today, Brother John. In so much of chaos in the world, I thought we'd have something from you.
What is Christmas?
Yes.
What is Christmas? Christmas is the time when those who accept and follow the teachings of the Christ turn their thoughts back into time to that babe born into the world of flesh, that he might be an example unto the world, born under conditions of adversity and poverty, in humbleness, and yet at the same time in glory. There are those in your world who accept the teachings of the Christ and who call themselves Christians, who even now do not fully understand nor appreciate or realize the true meaning and the purpose of the birth of the Christ. There are those who in humbleness and in sincerity of purpose do truly go forth in the darkness of your world bringing light, and yet even so many are they who have not yet truly visualized the true meaning and import of Christ's being. There are many who still cling to the outworn idea of the Christ being born of the Virgin Mary, cannot see that in the truth of his birth lies the reality of his mission and his work, and the tremendous power that manifested through that being. I do not wish to take away from any individual something that is real and something that is a great spiritual joy, and yet at the same time truth confesses me that I should state that it is because of the naturalness of the birth of the Christ that the reality of his life and his mission, and that which he gave forth to the world, becomes understandable. It is, it seems, so important to me that mankind should realize that Christ was born in the normal sense, in the normal way, The Christ was indeed a child in the physical sense of the flesh. Though he was animated by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was, to all intent and purpose, a human being. He was given the realization from his early years by the power of the Spirit that he should manifest that power and speak forth in the darkness of your world the message of light, the message of Spirit. But if, as so many do, consider him in the first instance of a miraculous conception, he ceases to be human. He is given, as it were, some mythological power and creation which removes him from men and makes him unreal, unapproachable, and in many instances to many peoples unacceptable. We must see the birth of the Christ for what it is, a reality. Christ was born in what is termed a stable because there was nowhere else where he could have been born, owing to the circumstance and condition of the time. His mother and his father were as you or I. But he was born truly in light, though in the darkness of your world, with nowhere to lay his head. There was around him an angelic host of souls who came realizing that he was to be the voice of the Holy Spirit. He was to be the leader of men, not in the material sense, but in the spiritual. In the early formative years, he was ever aware of the angel hosts around him, and oft times listened to the voices that bade him to do his ministry when the time should come. This is a time of rejoicing in your world to those who call themselves Christians. But how much more should they rejoice when they realize the humanity of the Christ, when they realize the nearness of the Christ, and the power of the Christ, and the message of the Christ. And not only at this time should those who call themselves Christians rejoice because of his birth, but also they should rejoice for the message of the resurrection of the Spirit. Between birth and death, so-called, this span of time when man has his being in the flesh, this is the period of time of learning, of gaining knowledge and experience. We are born, and we live, and we die, and we live again. And Christ came into the world to express these things, which are eternal truths, that the birth into the flesh has a meaning and a purpose for man, that he should give himself fully and completely in loving service to his fellow men, that he should express while yet in the flesh the power of the Holy Spirit which is within and all around and about man. and that when death comes, whatever form it takes, it is the gateway to life eternal, and that truly man should understand there is nothing to fear, nothing to dread, though he may be at times full of doubt and uncertainty, yet the glorious example that is set by the Christ is the key that unlocks the door of truth and opens up the heart to the full realization of God's will and purpose for his children. We do not want man to think in miracles, but to think in realities. There are men who put around the Christ an aura of miraculous conception, who put around him that which he claimed not for himself. Christ was of men, and yet overcame the flesh because of the power of his spirit and the realization of his mission and purpose of life. That is why at this time we are so anxious to dispel these things which place Christ in a position where he is not fully understood nor realized, that he truly was a man, yet born in a sense of God, of the Spirit. We must try to see the reality of his life, and to make unto ourselves, as he said that we should, examples also, that we should truly follow him and be like unto him, and try in all our works, in all our sayings, to do likewise. Man has created from the truth of his life many false things, which obscure the beauty and the reality and the truth of his being. And I feel so strongly that when man can see this truth in all its glory, man will rise above the conditions of his life and truly become a follower of the Holy Spirit. Christ was born into the world not to found a religion or a creed or a dogma, not to set up a new church upon earth, but he came in simplicity and in beauty, that man might find the path, the true path, to eternal light and eternal life. We have seen over the centuries how man has so twisted these truths, how man has brought about many things which are in themselves the opposite to Christ and his mission. Many things that have been done in the name of the Christ, yet are not in themselves Christ-like. There are rifts between those who follow the Christ. There are those who see not only that which they wish to see. And we have, as we well know, many diversities of opinion and shade of thought which separate men from themselves, from each other, and from the Christ. These are tragedies brought into being by falsities, particularly falsities in outlook of the Christ. They see not the Christ in his true beauty and the reality of his work and mission. Christ came not into the world to separate men, but to unite them. He came that he might, through his work and his mission, open up for man the door of truth that had been locked for centuries. He was the key, and many men have endeavored to open the door, and yet oft times the door has remained closed because they have not seen for themselves the reality of himself, the Christ. They have only seen an aspect, and in consequence the key has not fitted. Christ is the key to all hearts. Christ is the key that unlocks all doors. Christ is the key that will open up the heavens, but only when man himself has realized the real power that is in the Christ. And the mysteries that shall be broken open and revealed unto men can only be so done when man himself sees that the mysteries in themselves are what he himself has created. Christ was not born in mystery and myth. Christ was born in love and reality. Christ was truly brought into the world of flesh that he might open for all mankind the key of knowledge. He might be used, as it were, that all men of all nations should come together in strength, and that they themselves would find, by following in his footsteps, the path, the truth, the light, and the way. We are all his children. We are all part of him in spirit and in truth. But we must, if we are to succeed in the undertakings that we have given ourselves to do, release ourselves from all these things which are barrier and which are by their very nature false and opposite to the simplicity and the humility and the reality of the Christ whom we love.
I suppose, Brother John, really, though the mythical part has been emphasised, and still the life of Christ has been a good influence in the world, though in limiting sense. And I suppose it takes time to unlearn even those who pass into spirit these beliefs. It takes time for them to release themselves from them.
Yes, child, but we must realize that man will individually bring his own interpretation, not necessarily only to the Christ and his teachings, but to many things appertaining to life itself. This is human and natural and understandable. We are also fully conscious and aware that there are many who have followed the Christ and have achieved great things in his name, who have followed to the best of their ability in his footsteps. We who come to you are fully conscious and aware of all that is being done and is being done by sincere followers of the Christ. We do not come to discourage. We do not come in any way to take from them that which they have found and that which has brought them peace and tranquility and that which has created for them a way of life. But we do feel that if the whole of mankind is to be truly followers in the highest sense, in the reality of which we speak, many of these myths, many of these legends, many of these things that have been discussed and accepted by many must be changed. There are many who cannot see and cannot understand, for the simple reason that many of the things that the Church over the centuries has tagged on to the Christian truth have become, as men have begun to think more deeply and seriously, have become barriers. They have, by the very nature of what has been said, brought friction, brought misunderstanding. Indeed, they have brought forth not necessarily only the good, but oft-times much that is bad in human nature. Yes. We have seen the wars, we have seen the frictions, we have seen all manner of things which are foreign to the Christ, and yet done by those professing to be Christians. Mm. A true follower of the Christ, in true humility, in sincerity of his purpose, renounces himself. This may sound strange and almost impossible to accept or to believe, but if one is to find truth, if one is to find Christ, if one is to find the reality of the Spirit, it is vital and important that one must give oneself absolutely and completely in love and in service to him and to the work of the Spirit. In other words, one must lose oneself in the sea of Spirit. One, as it were, must drown oneself in the material sense, in such a way that we do become, even though the tide of material things are heavy and difficult, we can swim by the grace of God and overcome all that life may bring. When a man is prepared to lose his life, if necessary, in truth and in love and in service, in brotherliness, then when man has given himself and lost himself, he begins to see himself. He begins to truly find himself. Christ gave completely and absolutely. He was not concerned with the things of the flesh. He was only concerned with the things of the Spirit. He gave himself utterly and absolutely. And if we are to find him, we must truly emulate him. We must follow him, and we must give completely of ourselves as he himself gave. And it is in this fashion, and only in this fashion, that we shall be able to do the work that he desired that we should do. But we see in your world many sincere Christians, many sincere religions or aspects of the Christ teaching. And we know that individually here and there, there are men of great integrity of spirit who truly are Christians and followers of the Christ. And yet we see the mass of humanity who do not know, do not understand. And among them are many who call themselves Christians, who have not yet grasped the real meaning and the purpose behind the work and the life of the Christ. In other words, until the Christian church accepts fully the Christ's teachings, endeavors to emulate the Christ in every possible conceivable way, until it can cast aside its pomp and its ceremony and its power, and rely solely and absolutely on the simplicity and the humbleness of the Christ, and give completely and absolutely freely of that spirit, forgetting self in service, there can be no true Christian evolution and development among men. The strife in the world is the lack of the Christian element, the lack of the Christian spirit, the lack of the acceptance of the purpose and the meaning of Christ and his teachings. Nations calling themselves Christian make war. They do all the things that are opposed to the teachings of the Christ, individually and collectively, and nations in great power take the lives of many of God's children, calling it justice, calling it righteous, and indeed using many expressions to cover up their misunderstanding and their lack of knowledge of Christ and his teachings. The things that have been done under the banner of Christianity by professing Christians are diametrically opposite to the things that Christ taught and Christ desired that men should be and become. Christ came in peace and in love, in humbleness and sincerity. He came to show the path, the way, the light, that men should be humble, that they should find true brotherliness one with the other in following his teachings. But we see the world in which you dwell, and we realize particularly now, at this time when you celebrate as Christians the birth of the Christ, we see the miseries of man, and many of these miseries are brought into being by those who profess to be Christians, whether they be individuals or nations. So how can we condone, how can we celebrate the birth of the Christ? How can the peoples of the earth rejoice when there is only room for tears and sadness? We bless all God's creatures. We bless all God's children. We bless all those, whether they be professing Christians or not. We bless all God's creatures, for all are one body, separate though they may be, but all are one in spirit. And the time shall surely come when man shall see truth, and having seen truth, shall bring into being that peace that Christ desired should come upon the earth, a time of peace and goodwill to mankind. This is the message of spirit. This is our task. This is that which we try so desperately to bring about among you, that you shall truly go forth, spreading the joyous truth of life eternal and the message of the Christ, that all men should be brothers, irrespective of color, race, or creed. We love all God's children, and we come in loving service. We bring with us that power that nothing can destroy. You are blessed, my child. Go forth in the ways of the world, doing that which you have been called upon to do, knowing that you shall by the power of the Holy Spirit, overcome, and in consequence have cause to rejoice with us in doing the will of the Most High. Be of good faith, my child. My peace be with you.
God bless you.
Farewell.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye, and a very happy Christmas. And don't worry, because you'll find a new home.